Hello and welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm Patrick Boland and I'm your host. Now, we're going to continue our trek through the Marvel Universe through the MCU. We're on number 18, which is going to be Thor Ragnarok, which is the third in this Thor series. 18 overall out of the 22 before Endgame. Now, we're going to be doing something a little bit different like we did the one time. Ethan's going to be joining us remotely, and we have Larry here in the studio.
Hello.
And we're going to do this down and dirty because we have a lot to go through before the next movie, and this one has a lot of Easter eggs
yes.
in it.
Yes. Patrick, can I ask everybody a question? Okay. Especially the listeners, did you buy your Avengers Endgame tickets yet, listeners? I have mine.
Yes. Fandango has announced that this sold more tickets than any other movie since they've been open.
That's impressive.
Oh no, you know, for pre-sales.
Right, but still very impressive.
It broke all records. It broke all Star Wars records and everything like that.
Good.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the day it went on sale was the highest single grossing day in Fandango's history.
That's crazy. Just crazy. That's crazy money because Fandango's been on a long time.
Now, here's the thing: is that all tickets, you know, everything is synchronized worldwide for this opening. So that means that all tickets went on sale the same time on the 2nd of April, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Fandango, AMC. Regal,
Adam,
everybody's site went down. Even though they were prepared for this, they all had extra servers running. They had everything going, and still everything crashed.
But listeners, if you're listening to Patrick, myself, and Ethan, we've been doing this for months now. We've been talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've been getting you prepared. Am I right? We've been preparing you for months now for this journey through the Marvel Cinematic Universe for weeks, if not months.
Yeah, months and months and months.
Right. So
yeah.
Again, anybody who's listened to this podcast series with Ethan, myself, or again, if sometimes we're not on all the podcasts, that you should be the most prepared movie watcher for Avengers Endgame than anybody in that movie theater. I kid you not.
Yeah.
You will be well prepared.
Yeah, because they've done this since 2008, so
right.
They've been world building since then. Think of every single character, every single world, every single device, every single thing that they've introduced that's been boiling and leading up to this point.
Right.
So you're going to be so familiar with everything
right.
that's involved with this.
So let's dig in. I love this movie. I love Thor. I love Thor Ragnarok. I love the original Thor. It starts off hot. I mean, boom,
well,
we just dive
yes,
right in, right?
Well,
I mean,
it's interesting is that the theme song, it wasn't really the Thor theme song. It just kind of opens. I didn't really recognize it. I mean, it may have been a variation of it.
Maybe.
And then it showed the Marvel logo.
Right.
Again, the logo has been slightly more changing with each movie, and in this iteration was kind of closer to what you're getting used to for like Infinity War,
right.
But it's different than the previous movie, and then the logo catches on fire,
right,
and then it instead of being like a backstory or anything, it just jumps you right into the movie,
right.
And the first line of the movie is "I know what you are thinking." That was from Thor,
right,
and it shows this cage with, you know, and you obviously you figure out that it's Thor's in it, and he seems to be talking. He seems to be talking to the audience, but you find out he's talking to somebody else that's in this cage. You also find out that he's chained in a cage over a lava pit. Then you realize that he's in a cave. And then he kind of does this monologue, or he kind of does this exposition where he's explaining
right.
why the movie is where it's at. Because remember the last one in
Thor the Dark
Thor,
World?
Dark World.
Right.
You know, Loki's supposed to be dead,
right.
and Thor's come back to Asgard. And so he's like, okay, you know, and then this one jumps right in, and you're like, where did he get here? How did he get here?
Right.
Basically, the backstory is that he's running around the galaxy trying to find the
Infinity
Stones.
Yes.
And then he goes like, I couldn't find any of those, but then he brings up the dreams that, I don't know if they're like, like not like dreams, but it's
visions,
visions, you know, type of thing. Where
he doesn't use the term vision. I think he says dreams in the movie. I think this is my dreams.
But don't forget that he went into the pit where he was able to, you know, from what Scarlet Witch did to his mind and there. So he saw the visions there. Now he's having these vision dream things.
Right, right.
Which he does say that it is Ragnarok. And he's concerned about this. And the person in the dream is Surtur. So we find out that this is the planet Skaar, because that's where Surtur lives.
Skaar. Right, alien planet Skaar, right.
Yeah, and so therefore he's like, oh, I thought my father killed you 500,000 years ago. So it shows you how old everybody is.
Yes. I mean, it
establishes that.
Right. So it's almost like world building again for Thor, right? It's almost
painting in the corners.
True.
And hey, real quick.
Yes. Although Dark World was the previous Thor movie, it's really picking up things from Age of Ultron, because you mentioned the vision with Scarlet Witch. But also the reason he was looking for the Infinity Stones, because remember at the end of Ultron, he's telling Captain America and Iron Man how they've now seen a couple of the Infinity Stones out there, so he wants to go find out what's going on with that.
Right. If anything, this is a sequel to more Age of Ultron than anything else.
Continuing their thought.
Right. But we know it's Thor 3, but right. Dark World, you can end Dark World, and you don't...
Standalone.
Right. It's more of a standalone. Yeah, what you're saying, Ethan, is absolutely correct. It's much more, okay, here's Age of Ultron, the end of the movie. Remember that part, and you kind of pick up, boom, right where this is.
Yes.
But does that fit the timeline? Does that
yes.
fit? Just making sure.
The only time that they've been playing with the timeline itself or is with... The beginning of
Iron Man 1,
so that's where they start messing with things a little bit. We know.
Now we know where he's at, what he's been doing, right?
Right.
But he's now in chains. And remember, his monologue is with a skeleton.
He's talking to a skeleton.
Right.
I would like to find out who that was.
Yeah.
So they kind of introduce this mysterious person, and then they move on. So basically, the whole entire purpose we find out that Thor is he's trying to prevent Ragnarok from happening.
Correct.
And we find out that Surtur's big eyebrow thing is not really his face;
crown. Right. Exactly. Right. And so
now that Thor figures this out, and he's like, "Well, okay, now I know the where your powers come from, I can prevent you from destroying Ragnarok by taking your crown,
right.
because that's the source of his power.
And that is Thor's true mission for
most
of this movie. Let's say 95% of the movie.
Yeah, he's trying to find other Infinity Stones, but the thing is that he's more obsessed with...
Preventing
Ragnarok.
He wants to prevent Ragnarok, which
he's interpreting it as Ragnarok.
Right. But again, if somebody tells you, well, this being is going to destroy your home planet, I mean, you'll do whatever you have to do. But again, it's a little more deeper than that. But anyway.
Right. So he manages to get the crown off of Surtur. And he basically mows through everybody through a beautiful sequence of music and fighting.
Right.
He's trying to get the Bifrost to be activated by
Heimdall, which is Idris Elba's character.
Yeah, but he's not there. He's not at his post.
No, he's not.
It's Scourge.
It's Scourge, right?
He's trying to impress two ladies,
right? Exactly.
So he's doing all this talking
show off,
stuff, showing
right.
off stuff. He says, "I've been to Earth," and he goes, "I went to this place called Texars."
Texas, and
he says, "I got these two weapons. One is called Dis, and the other one's called Destroy."
Right,
and he says, "And together they cause destruction."
He's impressed with these.
So
M16s.
These are great.
Right.
And he activates the Bifrost. Finally, Thor comes back through, but he shuts off the Bifrost at the last minute and cuts off the creature's head.
Right.
So everybody is sprayed with green blood, which
right.
makes the maidens run away, and Thor is like, what's going on here? Things have changed since
right.
I've been gone.
Right, where's Heimdall? Right,
yeah,
I mean, that's
stuff.
What I would ask.
And so he goes and confronts his father, and Odin's It's not a castle. It's just his throne. It's not even a throne room.
It's like an open air throne room. It's like an open air. Like a, I don't know, like a
his stuff
like a courtyard.
A, yeah, court. Thank you. Thank you. Courtyard. Yeah, it's an open air courtyard, right?
And,
and there's a play going on. There's a play going on.
Right. And the play is basically about the events at the end of Dark World, where Loki is sacrificing himself, and he's the hero because he sacrificed himself.
Of course, of course.
For Asgard.
First looking at this, going like, oh.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, Loki is the hero in this play.
Right, and so you have.
But who's in the play?
Right, so Odin's, quote-unquote, is resting, watching his play, laughing, right?
Yeah, he's sprawled across a couch eating grapes.
Right.
Being fed grapes.
And so Loki is played by Matt Damon, you know, in the play, which is like a little cameo. And then Thor is played by his brother. Chris Hemsworth's brother, right? I think so.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. It's Luke
Hemsworth. And what I also caught, I believe this is correct, is that Odin in the play is played by Sam Neill. Sam Neill, the famous the guy from Jurassic Park. I just caught that when I saw it again. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Sam Neill.
Yeah.
So, again, you have two big stars, one not kind of a big star, Chris Hemsworth. The younger brother. But yeah, they're all playing like characters in this goofy play.
Yeah, and also Zachary Levi is in this one as Fandral. But you know who he's playing?
He's Shazam.
He's Shazam.
Right, which is right, exactly. So,
yeah, so
that's an interesting way of, you know, that's how I got to start at the superhero.
So he's playing two different people from two different
universes, right? DC Comics versus Marvel.
Yeah.
So right, so basically Thor walks into this.
Surtur's voice is Clancy Brown.
Oh, okay, right. That's interesting. Well, yeah, well, he's defeated, and remember, Thor's walking. He chains the crown to his back when he's walking around. So he has it. And he puts it eventually in the bowels of the castle.
Oh, his the weapon room.
Right, where
plays a. We've seen that once before in the first Thor.
Yes.
When Odin's walking through and he activates the destroyer.
Yes.
And the thing is that was the first time we saw the Infinity Gauntlet. Now, I would like to point out something very interesting in the first Thor when we saw the Infinity
We've skipped ahead a little bit, but this is still, very important.
This is going back to the first Thor.
Okay.
The Infinity Gauntlet we saw in the first movie was a right-handed gauntlet.
Right, he's wearing it on his left hand in Infinity War.
Mm-hmm. And the one in the first Thor had all the stones in it.
Yes.
Really?
So most people speculate that it was a fake or a prototype at the very least.
Or at first they thought there was a continuity problem.
Because, I mean, let me unpack this for a second. And I do remember the scene now from the first Thor. I do remember that. I have to see it again, but I do remember that. You're saying that Odin would – I mean, again, Ethan, let's talk about this quickly, or maybe not quickly. Remember when their sister emerges from the depths of Asgard? I mean, she describes how herself and her father, Odin, are laying waste to worlds – laying waste to planets and populations.
He's a warmonger.
Well, yeah. So he couldn't have had all the infinities. It's possible. I mean, Odin brought peace to these nine realms. I mean, he didn't do it by saying pretty please.
Well, don't forget that he gave up his eye to be all knowing and all seeing.
Sure.
So therefore, he's fully aware of the Infinity Stones.
Yes.
And what they're capable of doing.
So maybe that's why he had them locked up. I'm just saying, if that was really a gauntlet with the real Infinity Stones.
Well, they weren't.
Well, then,
for
and
sure.
And then also, didn't he hide the Tesseract in Norway, which is how
yes.
the Red Skull, that's how the Red Skull finds it in the beginning of Captain America, First Avenger.
He spread them out throughout the galaxy. At one point, he may have had them all together.
Okay.
Or he realized the power of each one. And
he realized the power of saying, we have to split this apart.
Also, we have to hide them so nobody else can find them and put them together.
Right.
Because, you know, he knew the potential of what can happen.
Right, the potential. Anyway, so back to the play. Well,
Thor is like... he sees through the whole thing. Everybody thinks Odin's Odin.
Right.
He watches.
Well, remember, as soon as Thor shows up, Odin quote unquote goes, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
because he was supposed to. That's not really Odin.
Because he thought, So Thor makes Loki unmask because Loki was pretending to be Odin, and Thor's like, okay, what did you do with Dad? And he's like, well, I hit him on Earth.
Right.
And so they give the crown, and they tell him to go lock it up.
Right.
He says, we got to go find out what the hell is going on and where his dad is and how did you get him tricked and lock him up because he's all powerful.
Correct.
So they run. Oh, and during the play, I forget, they do drop an Easter egg.
Oh, what is it?
When Matt Damon's like acting out as Loki, he goes like, says, do you forgive me for turning you into a frog?
Oh, yes.
In the comic books, Thor was changed into a frog. So there was a frog running around on two legs in Thor's costume and his helmet with Thor's hammer. And so that was referring back to several issues that was written by, well, it was drawn by Walt Simonson. I don't know if he wrote those issues, though. But it was Walt Simonson did that. And so it was interesting that they dropped that Easter egg in there because I went, I recognize that immediately. Oh, and Scourge was supposed to announce when Thor is
right.
is right there, and Thor flew into the castle, and so Scourge had to run, so he finally ends up there, and Scourge is panting, and he goes, and here is Thor, and Loki turns to him and says, you only had one job.
Right.
And so that's why he was there.
Bifrost, right.
But he was again, it was Heimdall,
Heimdall. Heimdall was missing, right?
Right. Heimdall.
And so they go. Thor and Loki go to Earth, disguised as Earthlings, and they went to Shady Acres retirement home, and it's being demolished.
Right.
And Thor's like, "Are you sure you put him here?" He goes, "Yeah, I don't know what happened to him."
Right.
And apparently, everybody recognizes Thor, no matter even if he's disguised, because he's got these two fans that run up to him, and like they take selfies with him, and then as they're leaving, they go like, "I'm so sorry that Jane dumped you, Thor," and he goes like, oh, "She didn't dump me, I dumped her."
And again, I noticed this because I told you, Patrick, earlier that the blonde lady, Ethan, is a Helmsworth. She's like the younger sister or something like that of.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, God, she looks really familiar. Then I looked in the credits. It said Helmsworth. So
It was. Let me see here. So it was College Girl number 2.
Right.
And she didn't even get a name.
No name.
It was Taylor Hemsworth.
So there's the sister. There's his brother in the play, and of course Thor himself. So there's three of them in the movie. So
now, Luke also tried out for Thor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
that'd be a weird dinner. You know, with the two brothers, like, oh, you got it, not me. Okay.
So it was interesting that he got to finally play Thor, even though he wasn't playing.
In a much more smaller and less monetarily advantageous role.
But it was just really interesting. Oh, then another Easter egg is when they're standing in front of the retirement home, Thor's carrying an umbrella.
Yes.
Now, which
looked odd to me.
Well, in the comic books, when Thor was in his secret identity as Donald Blake, the Doctor, he would carry around a cane, and there were several times that the cane was the hammer was disguised as a cane. There was times when it was disguised as an umbrella.
Okay, right.
So it's just again a little.
Which in this different. it is when they go to Bleecker Street, which is
yes. Loki gets yanked away through a portal, and there was a little
car. He just disappears into the streetscape of New York City.
Now,
which is not totally unusual, but I mean, this was a portal.
Now, here's the funny part: is that card that has
there was a little
business card that was left from the portal, and it was
177A Bleecker Street, correct?
Which is a real address,
correct?
Of Roy Thomas, which was a writer. Of Doctor Strange.
Interesting. I did not know that. That's very cool. Very cool.
Yes.
Cool.
And so that was interesting. So Thor goes there, and it's obviously Doctor Strange's address.
Right.
He gets yanked in through several different portals, and he through a bunch of very funny little scenes where he gets bopped around the whole entire.
Right. Doctor Strange is like messing with him,
because he's
like, "There's wizards now on Earth," and so Doctor Strange got. You can tell he's like perturbed.
To different parts.
Right. He's like, "Okay, don't mess with me, buddy."
Yeah, basically, so he leaves his umbrella upstairs.
Yes.
And they finally have the discussion about that. He makes Loki appear, and Loki's screaming, "I've been falling for 30 minutes straight." And so they were like, "Okay, I know where Odin is, and if you promise me you won't, you know, cause any more damage on Earth, I'll show you where he's at." And so they end up porting. Dr. Strange there.
But well, Loki's like really pissed off at Dr. Strange.
and he pulls his weapons out and tries to kill him.
And so he's like, okay, I've had enough of this. And he literally just pulls the portal over Loki.
Yeah, and he goes, bye-bye. And they're in Norway.
Right, they're on the coast of Norway, right.
Yes, and this is very significant is because some of the mythology of Thor and Odin.
Of course, is from Norway, from the Nordic countries. Absolutely makes sense.
And so Odin's there, and he's dressed as a human as well.
Yes.
An Earthling.
Earthling, right, like retirement. Yeah, no, he's dressed as whatever.
And so they have a very deep talk, and then Odin disintegrates.
Right, but he kind of drops a bombshell on them, saying, you know, you have a sister, guys. She's the goddess of death.
Yes.
You know, Hela. And sister? I mean, let's be honest. If I'm in my 30s or something else and I find out I have a sister, I mean, and you've been hiding it from me all these years?
In Thor's case, several hundred thousands of years.
Okay, well, that's even worse. I mean, right. But the point is, Daddy-O on this cliff, which looks like an end of days type of shot for his father, drops this bombshell on the two brothers. And so now
it was more of a, because this, through his powers, he kept her chained and locked up.
Right.
Because
within Asgard. But then he says in the talk, once I pass, she'll.
I'm weakening. I'm passing, and she's going to come. She's going to break free, and you got to be aware of it.
And she's going to bring. She can bring the destruction of Asgard, or bring about Ragnarok.
Oh, so so now Thor has got like. Three worries: the Infinity Stones, Ragnarok, and Helena.
Right.
And
he's Hela.
He never met her.
No. Neither's Loki. Neither of them ever met.
Yeah, because he wasn't aware. And the funny thing is that she's aware of Thor, but she didn't know about Loki.
No, yeah. Which makes sense logically.
Right. And so. So Odin disappears.
Right, he becomes like
Yoda.
Well, like Yoda, but also like I can't remember the Odin's wife. Remember, they had the funeral, and right, how then she eventually burns up and then becomes like little ashes, or like little sparkles.
Falls out into the stars.
So, and literally within a few seconds, Hela appears.
She finally breaks her bonds and stuff. Right. And it's interesting that she needed to use the Bifrost to break her bonds.
No.
So wherever she was in some alternate dimension that he prevented her from breaking free.
Right.
But
free,
it wasn't in Asgard at all.
Not necessarily.
So therefore, she still needs to use the Bifrost to get to Asgard.
Correct.
But
she was being held imprisoned someplace else.
Yes.
That's true. Not within. So. But she knows Asgard very well from fighting with her father for those years.
She was with him for thousands of years.
She was his right hand, basically.
Yeah.
And
what's really strange is that you have to be worthy to hold Thor's hammer.
Right, but she performed something even more audacious. Remember, Thor tries to kill her right there on the spot.
Or take her out with
his
hammer.
Right.
And he throws it at her, and she.
She stops it. She stops it. Slows it down.
It's
she holds it. Right. She holds it, and then
and
she crushes it.
You know, this was a. They went back and redid the sequence.
Really? Because?
Because the original sequence, which was filmed, was done in the streets of New York. It was done in a back alley where she destroys the hammer.
I think this is more poignant because you're in the Thor kind of.
You're surrounded in the city with all this noise and stuff.
Right.
This is really.
Did Odin die in this back street of New York or no? Yes, where he passed away makes sense because he's going home. In essence, he's going to his ancestors, which is Norway, which is these Nordic tribes, which in essence they're related to.
Well, she appears because
she is a child of Odin.
Right. Well, I just think it's more important that they were by themselves when this happened. So, the clutter and noise of New York wasn't, I don't think, a good location for this sequence to happen. So it had to be just them and talking. And so it was nice that they did it in this way. And that's why it looks kind of a little bit strange is because That was green screened.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. That's what I figured. So
Parts of the streets in New York were green screened too, but right. they went. After they showed it to people and stuff, they said like, the studio or the director went, I want to go back and redo the sequence.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So okay, so now Hela, the all-powerful sister, the goddess of death, destroys Thor's hammer, which is his main weapon, which we've never seen before. So he, in essence, so they do like hand-to-hand combat. Remember, they're trying to literally trying to fight her, hand-to-hand. Mm-hmm. And then, what is it? Does Loki call?
Thor does.
But then she jumps in. So they're all going up the Bifrost together, the three of them, and then she pushes.
They're fighting as they're traveling through the Bifrost.
And Loki first gets pushed off or punched away, and he falls out.
Yeah,
we don't know where
he lands.
And then Thor's still fighting with Hela, and then she pushes him out after this epic battle, he falls, and we see him literally falling onto this planet. It's like a junkyard, is what it looks like. Boom.
Yeah,
he crashes.
It's a very bad part of whatever planet that is.
The planet is named Sakaar.
Sakaar, which is the home planet of the Game Master.
Of the game, yes, absolutely.
He's one of the Eternals. Now we've been introduced to two. The Collector.
Right, interesting.
There's five. So we've been introduced to two out of the five.
Okay,
so far.
Interesting. All right. So, but then they jump. They have the scene where he's... like these scavengers. I think they jump back to Asgard, because then
she pops up out of here. And this is a really tragic part because
it made me very sad too.
Well, it's because of the Warriors Three that have been around forever, and it's just like they basically are wiping the slate clean.
Yeah, because she takes him out immediately.
She gets rid of everyone.
They want to take her on because they see her.
Volstaff and. Fendril all die.
She runs a knife through them really fast, swords, and that's it.
She cuts right through everybody. Right.
But while this is happening, Scourge, the Carl Urban character, he's like observing this, and she's like, who are you?
Scar.
Scourge. And so he's observing this, and he's like stunned in the corner.
And she's like, who are you? I'm nothing but the janitor. He's pushing a broom.
Because
they're making him clean up his mess.
Right, but they're also he's also trying to downplay it so she doesn't put a sword through him.
Now here's the funny part: is Sif isn't around, the ladies' warrior.
No, I don't know why. Right, she's not.
Where is she?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
And so that was a major point. Everybody kept on asking.
Right, but she wasn't there. She wasn't there to meet Hela at all.
Or during the major. Battle sequences.
No,
or anything.
No, that's true. No, she wasn't.
Yeah. So where in the world did she go?
Right.
Okay. So now, so she takes everybody out. Scourge is now becoming, like
her servant. Right. Her lackey.
We find out that when Thor lands on the planet
Sakaar, right?
It's really a crappy place where people are surviving off the scraps because this planet. Is around a whole bunch of wormholes and a lot of different portals.
So basically
everybody in the galaxy is like throwing stuff through these portals and stuff, which are landing here.
Right. A lot of it's garbage. A lot of it is. So those are like garbage.
And I kept on going through everything I saw. I was hoping is that like some of the
like an R2-D2 would be there or something like that or something like weird.
Some type of some like, sort of Easter egg in the garbage.
Right.
There probably was, and I missed it because that would be a perfect place to dump stuff.
Right,
in
a dump.
But what's interesting is that the major portal, the wormhole, explains something else that happens in the movie. Thor is there. He runs into a Valkyrie of all people.
Well, he doesn't know. He doesn't know right away, right?
We don't know who she is.
And she's very tipsy and drunk when she kind of rescues him. Tessa Thompson plays Valkyrie.
Yes,
right?
And that Valkyrie I ran into as a cosplayer, and she had a bottle with her, and she was
of course.
She was doing the drinking and stuff.
Sure,
it was completely hilarious.
At C2E2, of course.
Yes,
in Chicago. Sure. So basically, he's about to get eaten by these scavengers.
Yeah, they and she have the swoops down. Out of them.
Right, right. Well, I mean, he puts up a fight, but there's just too many
they're
of
using
them.
Using an electrical
right, like a taser on him.
And the part to emphasize that he is solely dependent on his hammer is that he reaches out and expecting his hammer to fly into his hand.
Right,
and then he realizes after he does that, he's like, oh,
it's gone.
It's gone. It's not gonna come back.
Right, he's so used to it. So she does rescue him with her ship. She mows down all the scavengers.
Her ship is she's got these robotic gloves, which controls the ship, which was so totally
very cool. Very cool, right.
Yeah, and so she takes him back to the Game Master, and this great sequence here.
But remember, she takes him back not because she wants to help him. She's selling him to the Game Master for a bounty.
Because apparently it's been weeks or a very long time before the Game Master's had any fun in his ring that he's been doing. And they fly towards the building, the Game Master's building.
Building, right.
And they show four heads on there. Right. One of them is the Hulk.
Correct. We see
one
that.
One of them is Beta Ray Bill.
Which I didn't get.
Yeah, okay. Beta Ray Bill was an alien that befriended Thor in the comic books and helped Thor, and at one time or another had used Thor's hammer, and Odin went like, wow, you're so worthy, he makes his own hammer for
Beta Ray Bill.
Bill.
Interesting.
And he goes back to his world, so there is a alien Thor running around as Beta Ray Bill, but it's interesting is that the Game Master's heroes, or his champions,
are the Hulk. The current one is the Hulk, so that's why he has a bust of him.
Yeah,
then
I didn't know the other two.
I didn't know who they were either.
Yeah, but if those are the champions, then at one time Beta Ray Bill
was the champion. Yeah, was defeating everybody else who came by.
So does that mean Hulk defeated Beta Ray Bill?
We don't know. We just don't know. That's never discussed.
No, it isn't. But it was a nice little Easter egg they dropped. So we got another piece of Thor's history that was
from the comics.
On there. So they can go back to this if they ever want to read.
And you know when Valkyrie flies in, and of course Thor's kind of, you know, she puts a thing on his neck like a shock collar, which looks like to me like C-3PO had in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And again,
a controlling bolt.
Right, a control bolt, and R2-D2. But also, I noticed that when they're flying into the city, it reminded me of Coruscant. That's what I thought of.
Because it's completely covered with buildings.
Like massive skyscrapers,
Very little.
There's no streetscapes or anything like that, greenery.
There's no nature because it's completely paved over.
Right, which is not necessarily a good thing. But yeah, so she lands and she presents him, but he's like on this like Disney ride.
Well,
he's on like this.
He goes in there and they go like, okay, we're going to prepare you to meet the Game Master.
And he's fighting it. He's
mad. He's locked up in the chair. But
right.
during when he's got this like voiceover, and they're showing him the history of the Game Master and all this stuff, and and explaining more about the planets where we learn about all the portals and everything.
Right.
They play the Willy Wonka music.
Was it really the Willy? Was it really?
Yes, okay, it was 1971.
Okay,
version of the movie.
Willy Wonka esque type ride. Let's be honest.
And it was kind of funny that they did that, but they made a point of doing that.
And that's why I love this movie so much. I mean, obviously it's a serious story about Asgard collapsing and the Infinity Stones, but it's such a whimsical movie at sometimes, right?
Just every single point that they could do a zinger or a little joke, they did.
Which I loved. I just loved it.
Well, most of the things that
Jeff Goldblum.
Well, Jeff Goldblum didn't really have any lines. All this was ad-libbed by him.
Truly, no lines at all. They just said, okay, you need to be in this.
Well, they said, okay, you need to bring up these points, and then you know, how you get there, we don't care.
Right, just do it.
Yeah, you know, because there. I don't know if it's on the Blu-ray or if it's online, but they show his riffs or the scenes that were the takes that were not used.
You know what? We talked about this. And I didn't look it up. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to go back and watch those. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Because there's that lady that was his assistant. I've forgotten the lady's character.
She's been in other movies too, that actress. I can't think of her name.
I'm trying to look it up real quick, but he did this whole entire rift with her that I've seen it. It's like 5 minutes long. they used very little of it, but it was just They fed off each other so well, bantering back and forth and stuff. It was just, it was really, really well done. The Valkyrie was called number 142. So
she was Valkyrie number 142?
No, she was agent or assistant number 142.
Okay.
And so at this point, we don't even know that she was a Valkyrie.
That's correct. That's right. So again, he goes through this ride.
And he gets introduced to the Game Master.
Right. And he's in like this throne room chamber, like almost like evoking the Emperor from Star Wars. I mean, not exactly, but more or less. If it has that vibe.
Everybody's sitting.
Right, exactly, and also you expect some sinister guy, like the Emperor or Darth Vader, and it's Jeff Goldblum in like these funky clothes. You know what I mean?
You know that the Game Master is a giant blue creature, but he had already done being a blue character in a previous movie, so he didn't want to get painted up again. To throw back to the comic books,
he had
blue streak on his chin,
not a soul patch, but it looks like if you had like a little strip of like a beard, but it's not really a beard, but but it looks like a warrior stripe to me almost in some cultures.
So yes, that's that was the throwback to that. That was their way of saying yes, the Game Master in the comics is blue, but we're just going to do that. We get to this is where they when he gets ready to be thrown into the ring.
Right.
This is where Stan Lee's cameo comes in.
Right. Right.
And he preps the warriors to go into the ring.
Right.
And he is going to cut his hair.
Right. And has this very weird contraption. I mean, it's like the weirdest hair cutting contraption with like different buzz saws. I mean, it looks like it cut your head off, basically.
Yeah, and Thor's like, "You're not going to cut my hair." Then he's at the end, he's like whimpering, going, "Please don't cut my hair."
Right. Please don't hurt me or something. Right.
And
right.
So they prep him, and so now he got his hair cut, and he's got warrior stripes on him. He gets thrown into this waiting cell,
like this chamber, like a holding cell,
and
basically.
It's like a donut shape, but it's an infinity thing where he can't go anywhere with it. So he goes one way, poof, he's right back.
Right,
to
he come right exactly. It's a very odd. Right, and again,
configuration.
And again, who's the character? The rock guy,
Korg.
Korg, right?
Korg.
And so right, and he's like the main guy in this cell, basically.
Yeah, he's been there for a long time, and the only reason why he's there is because he tried to do a rebellion,
right.
Except he couldn't get enough flyers printed,
right.
So his mom and his mom's boyfriend were the only ones that showed up,
right.
And he's like, I really didn't like him to begin with.
But
now, do you know who did the voice of Korg?
The director.
Yes.
The director did the voice of Korg. But here's a little more important point. Remember what, and Ethan, I think you're going to touch on this too, is that when Thor runs around the track, so to speak, doesn't Korg or somebody say this planet has like weird, he describes it. I think Korg describes saying this planet has some sort of weird balance or weird properties.
Were. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, in that place because he had given up trying to get through anything.
No, actually, no. The Game Master says it earlier because he says, I could be a million. He says he alludes to his age, but he says, but it's been so long that I like lost track of him. He's saying he's a very old being, but he says like this planet,
being an eternal,
right? But this planet like warps time. He alludes to something. I can't remember the quote now, but he says,
Jeff Goldblum's character, the Game Master, he says that it slows time or it has a odd relationship with time.
Thank you.
And he said that he should be millions of years old.
There you go.
But
there
he's not.
Go.
Okay.
Right. So yeah. So it's a very
and also remember when Thor sees Loki there. Loki says that he's been there for weeks.
Correct.
When Thor just got there.
Correct. Exactly. Because in essence,
time is being distorted.
It's, right. Right. Because I mean, Loki fell off the Bifrost only maybe a minute before Thor, if I can remember, 30
right.
seconds in the movie. Yet he's there. How long did you say? 30 days, Ethan? What was it?
No, it's several weeks.
Several weeks.
I think he said weeks. He said he's been there for weeks.
So right. Yeah. So there's some sort of time, distortion, temporal distortion with
which
this planet.
Which explains why Hulk has been there so
exactly,
long.
Right. Eventually, Hulk says he's right. They say Hulk's been missing for 2 years.
Up to that point,
right?
So
which
he may have been there just briefly.
2 weeks. I mean, for all he knows. I mean, obviously he's the champion, but. or let's say a month, but a month versus 2 years is a big time, you know, a big distortion in time. So yeah, so this planet is very funky. This Sakaar planet has all kinds of weird properties about it.
And then, with Korg's, I got an assistant called Mikey.
Right. Yeah, the assistant, he's like some sort of like buggish character.
Meek,
yeah. So it's a buggish character.
And
which,
with like, yeah, it's kind of, I almost think of him as how Rocket was to the Guardians.
Because he had knives for arms or something.
He's got like an exoskeleton on with all these weapons on it. It was Korg's kind of like assistant.
Right. His sidekick or whatever. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So they go out into the ring. I'm going to kind of like speed this up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we're in the ring. Thor gets thrown into the ring. He's all prepared because he doesn't know who the master champion is. Right.
But Korg told him nobody's ever defeated this guy.
Yeah, he's always wins.
Right. So Thor's like, oh, this is going to be a big one, and then it comes bursting out is Hulk.
And he's laughing, and Loki is like, oh, I got to get off this world.
Right, because now he knows he remembers what Hulk did. They smashed him, right?
Yeah, and then Thor is laughing hysterically, and he goes, fantastic, and everybody like stops.
No, he goes, we're friends. He tells the game, we're friends, and the game.
He's a friend from work.
Right. He's a friend from work.
Yeah,
exactly.
Do you know why where that line came from?
No.
There was some type of contest or something where a kid won the contest, and they asked him, if you're going to put a line in the movie, what would it be?
Really?
And he says, I want Thor to say that Hulk was a friend from work.
That's funny. That is
the only reason why that line's in there.
And honestly, that's a hilarious line. In the context, it's maybe one of the funniest lines of the movie because again, you're thinking there's going to be this massive battle in this ring, like Thunderdome. And actually, it does become a crazy fight, but they're friends from past movies, from past Avengers.
They had jobs with the Avengers.
Right.
So they were working for S.H.I.E.L.D. So
right.
So he alluded to that.
So I guess the question is, and I'm asking Ethan, you, and Patrick, why would Hulk, I know Hulk is Hulk smash, but why would he not go easy on Thor? Just because he's in that angry mode? He's out of control?
Well, he's been rewarded. He's got all these people that are not hating him. He's got a whole entire world that's cheering him on.
True. Hello?
Hello? Uh-oh. Hello? Oh, there we go. Hello?
You back? Okay.
No problem at all. And we're back, everybody. Now, we were alluding, we're trying to figure out why Thor was acting, Hulk was acting the way he was, is because Hulk was getting positive reinforcement from the crowd. People weren't hating him or going after him. They liked him for doing what he was doing. They cheered him on for Hulk smash.
Well, that's true, and that's what I was asking you. I mean, he was like this. I mean, Hulk was the center of attention. Where really with the Avengers, he was like a trick pony, basically, right? I mean,
they were using him as a weapon of mass destruction, and everybody hated him for destroying Manhattan,
right?
And
New York.
So nobody liked him for what he was, and here was a planet that wanted him to do.
Smash. Right. I would still think if I'm Hulk, I would recognize Thor. But again, that.
And then what's really great is Thor used "Hey big guy, the sun's getting really low." When he beats him against the wall, and he tries to use the trigger.
Tries to get him into Banner so he can win the match and be the champion. But yeah, then he gets his ass handed to him.
And then when the Hulk starts pounding Thor around like a rag doll, Loki jumps up and goes, "Yes, now you know how it feels."
Right.
And so that I thought that was.
But this is a very close fight. I mean, Thor really was handing Hulk's ass to him in several instances.
And there was a time when the Hulk almost had him against the wall, he was pounding him into the ground and was making a crater out of him.
Right.
And then when Korg, there was a dead guy in the cell with him, and he goes,
Doug.
Oh, another day, another Doug. Thor is about to beat him, and then the Game Master presses a button and zaps his neck.
Right.
So we find out that the only reason why Thor is undefeated is because the Game
Master... Hulk is undefeated.
It's been because when the Hulk is about to lose, Game Master
basically cheats. He's cheating. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so we were like, oh, okay. It's not that he's been killing everybody. He just happens to have been, you know...
He puts on a very good show.
He puts on an excellent show.
Right, Hulk puts on a great show for the masses. This is a la a Roman Colosseum. You know what
I mean? Yes, it's very much like that.
Right.
And then Valkyrie sees this and goes like, "Oh, okay, now I see what's going on." Right. She hadn't really seen things that closely apparently before.
She was also pretty drunk.
Cheating. Right. Well, yeah, but you know, she sees that. The Game Master was cheating, and she's like, okay, now I know what's going on.
Right.
And then we flip back to Asgard.
Right.
Helena has got the whole entire kingdom against her, and she's like, don't you remember me? Does anybody remember me?
And nobody does.
She wipes out
the entire army.
Everybody except for Scourge, and she hands Scourge an axe and goes like, okay, you're no longer Scourge, you're my executioner. Because in the comic books, he is called the executioner.
Oh, really? He is? Okay. So, interesting. So interesting.
Now he is who he is.
But he never gets a chance to execute anybody. He's about...
Not in the movie.
No. He's about to, yeah. And then that other guy steps forward. She's looking for...
Where the sword is to open up the Bifrost.
Yes.
The key to the Bifrost has been taken.
Right, which Heimdall is hiding in the mountains, basically.
Yeah, so somebody steps forward and goes, I know where it is. So now their hidden fortress is now...
Right, in the mountains or whatever, right? Yeah. So she's going there with Scourge.
So now, even though that Thor doesn't understand it, he's on a time frame. So so he talks to Hulk through this great banter... which is really beautiful, and guess who did the voice of Hulk?
I don't know.
It was Mark Ruffalo.
Should be Mark Ruffalo, right? No, it wasn't.
I thought it was.
Well, Ruffalo is Dr. Bruce Banner.
Yeah, but no, I was it Mark? I thought it was the guy that played Hulk on TV.
Oh
well, no! I read that was the case for the previous. Like in the Avengers films.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But in this film, it was the first time that Mark Ruffalo actually
did it. Okay.
Voiced the Hulk.
Well, and again, this is that talk they have like in the Hulk suite, right? He has the suite with the hot tub and
the whole bed. Exactly. He's a captive because there's a force field over his door. Even though that he's being treated by royalty,
he's still a captive. Can't go anywhere.
He's still captive by
the Game Master, right? Exactly. Yeah.
And so Thor talks to Valkyrie. He figures out who she is, and he appeals to her.
But she still turns him down.
Right. But he figures out how he can get out by taking her controls from him, turns out the thing off his neck.
Which he does, right? He does a little sleight of hand.
He turns out because the Quinjet, how Hulk got there, is still in...
Right.
Well, it's in one piece at this point.
Right, but Hulk shows him. He, points down in the window, and he goes, okay, that's my escape. That's my escape route. You know?
Yeah, because it survived going through space and going through the portal, which is called the Devil's Anus.
Right, exactly.
Lovely. So, therefore... He's like, okay, it's in one piece. I can use it to get to Asgard.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is that when he escapes and Hulk goes after him, Hulk tears the back end of it off.
Right, so kind of there's no more Quinjet, basically.
Yeah, there's basically. And then Thor, using the recorded message in there, calms down the Hulk, gets him to turn back to Bruce Banner.
It's Black Widow. He's watching Black Triggers Widow, which is... Right, so finally we get Dr. Bruce Banner back.
Which is kind of sort of bad, but now it's controllable. Now
he says, how long have I been gone? And Thor says, about 2 years. And he's like, I'm losing control of Hulk. I mean, this is serious.
He says that, you know, before it was like two people on the wheel, and now he felt like he was in the trunk.
Right, so, locked up in the trunk of the car. Right.
Yeah, because
Hulk was driving.
Because in the comic books.
Well, even before he asked how long he's been gone, he says, what happened in Sokovia? Did we save Sokovia?
He's harking back to, you said, Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, the funny thing is when Thor tries to start up the Quinjet, who is the mightiest Avenger? He keeps saying Thor.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Right. Yeah. It's Hulk.
Because the unlocking key on the Quinjet, it says, you know,
it's actually for Bruce Banner. It's not, it's right. Thor tried his hand, it didn't work, but Bruce Banner worked right away.
Yeah. Oh, because he because the key to Thor's unlocking key was Point Break.
Yes, that's right. Point Break. Right. Yeah. Right.
And so the referring back to the first. The first Avenger movie,
which is right because that's what Tony Stark calls him.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. So to make a long story short, they finally get off the planet through a enormous battle sequence, and they steal the Game Master's pleasure yacht.
Right, right. It's not a military jet. There's no weapons on there.
No, it's a pleasure yacht.
Right, where he has many a crazy party.
Yeah,
with music. Many an orgy on there.
But to do as a distraction, they start a rebellion.
Right, with Korg. Right, they go back. Thor goes back to Korg and his buddies and say, "Hey, here's your chance," or whatever. And so he gives them weapons, and then they hit the streets,
and chaos
ensues.
Yes, because the Game Master has been not only control. You know, he's got a tight control,
a very tight grip on this planet. Yeah,
yeah. And so they go. Thor and Valkyrie, and the Hulk, Bruce Banner, go back to Asgard and find out that pretty much the place has been decimated.
Right. Well, like, there's nobody there. Like, where is everybody?
Well, and remember, they were working together, but also with Loki, and Thor calls them the Revengers.
Right, the Revengers, right.
Instead of Avengers, they're Revengers. But then they wind up leaving Loki behind because, of course, Loki, as he always does, double-crosses them.
But remember, Thor, like, jumps the gun and puts the like control bot thing on him and leaves him zapped.
And he leaves the device on, so he's constantly zapping. To give him time to escape,
right?
Because you know, even though that Loki did a double cross on him, he figured that he could use him as a distraction anyway.
Right. Exactly.
And then by the time they get to Asgard, then Korg and his rebellion find Loki there.
Right. And Loki says, "Well, thank you." He says, "Yeah, it looks like you guys can use some leadership.
And Korg goes, "Thank you, yes."
Right, exactly, right. So
love Korg.
Right, yeah, he's fantastic here. And of course, eventually Loki gets back to Asgard as well, but that's
with Korg
and the rebellion, like the ragtag, but that's later on. So what's happening is, was it Heimdall's in the mountains? And of course, they break into the mountains, so they're trying to escape. And then,
they get back to the Bifrost because they use the Bifrost to escape. And Helen
has that dog. I don't know what it's a wolf.
That was actually from the comics again.
Right.
And that was her pet during the realm the time that
Battle of the Nine Realms.
Yeah.
Right. We skipped over this. When she goes in and she kind of destroys the palace and sits on the throne, she goes into like a chamber below,
a hidden chamber that she knows.
Yeah. And there's like this army,
Odin at the time, a fallen soldier would be honored by going into the chamber.
Right, and that's where the wolf is, the black wolf is, and of course so she reactivates the wolf for
everybody
and all those soldiers. So that's her army. Who again, like you said, with Heimdall's, with basically all of the Asgardian citizens on that Bifrost Bridge. I just made that name up, but it's a nice name. Anyway, and then at the other side,
it's the Rainbow Bridge.
The Rainbow Bridge. Sorry, my apologies. Anyway, so they're about to go towards what they think is the Bifrost to escape, and that wolf comes and stops them. Remember?
Yes.
And then they turn around to go back,
and there's all the dead soldiers.
Right. Exactly. So they're trapped.
They're checkmated. You know, they're stuck between the wolf and the army, and then Thor and Valkyrie go after Helena. Thor and Helena beat the crap out of each other.
Right.
She ends up taking out his right eye.
Correct.
Just like Odin had. Odin gave up his eye for knowledge.
Right, but this one he lost in battle.
He lost it in battle.
Right, with his sister.
Yes, and he's on the verge of death, and he has this vision. This is actually
up in the palace because they're fighting in the palace. They're not actually on the Rainbow Bridge.
The Rainbow Bridge. There's the thing going on.
Right.
Yeah. And
this is where Loki lands with Korg, and so they're fighting because they have this big transport ship. They're like, let's get on the transport ship, but of course the army and the wolf are stopping them. So there's this there's this massive battle.
Yeah, there's the big battle between
on Rainbow
Thor
Bridge.
On the bridge is going on while Thor and Helena is beating the crap out of each other.
Right.
And on the verge of where Thor is on the verge of death, he has this vision
right.
of
his father.
Odin.
Right.
And Odin goes and she goes, she's too powerful. And he goes, I need my hammer. And he goes, the hammer had nothing to do with your power.
Right. So he goes, what are you the god of? And he's like reminding him basically.
Yeah. And then he comes back.
Well, remember, Hela asks him, what are you the god of again?
Right.
And then that's when he goes to the vision.
Right, exactly. Right.
And he
hears Odin talking to him, and of course.
And this is the first time we've ever seen him cut loose entirely.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
From all the other movies we've seen him, yes, he's cut loose, but.
But he's using the hammer with it.
He's focusing everything through the hammer, and
right.
That's because, you know, forever and ever, for thousands of years, he thought that his power was the hammer.
Right, but it's not. Yeah. It's really within him, which is a good allegory, a good story.
But the other important thing that Odin tells him is he tells him that Asgard isn't a place, Asgard is the people. He said anywhere can be Asgard.
Right.
He points to the surroundings of Norway. He says, this could be Asgard.
Right, right. No.
Which is another storyline like from the comics.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't know that.
Because actually they had a floating palace that was above Texas in the comic books,
okay.
And they called that Asgard.
Okay, so right. It's wherever the people are, wherever the culture is,
yes.
which makes sense, which I understand then. But yeah, so they have this.
But that's also important because of what Thor ultimately decides to do not too long after that.
Right.
Right.
So basically, what Thor decides.
Hey, Ethan, you're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay.
No, that's okay.
So, what Thor decides, and this is what I said earlier,
yeah.
That Thor was attempting to prevent Ragnarok only about 90 to 95%. Here's the other 5%. He says, look, the only way to save, quote-unquote, Asgard, the people, is to actually have Ragnarok happen, because he believes Sartor, the flaming being,
yeah.
Can kill Hela.
Because death, you can't defeat death.
Right.
It's just like therefore.
But it'd be like a battle of equals, basically, because she would be consumed by defeating him because she wants the planet to herself, and of course, he wants the planet to.
She's also drawing her powers from Asgard.
Right.
So, therefore, if
right.
you destroy
right.
Asgard,
right.
you
destroy
Hela,
in theory, exactly. Right, right. So
he realizes. You know,
so he runs back to. Who gets the crown? Is it Loki or is it.
Loki gets the crown, and he throws it
into the eternal flame.
In the eternal flame,
right.
Which triggers.
Right,
and
the Sartor, right, and he's ready to rock, baby. I mean, it's true. Hela focuses on him. She's like, okay, I'm taking this guy out.
Her life depends on it. So she's got to take him out, or she's going to lose all her powers, and she will die without her powers.
Right, right, right.
And
exactly.
So therefore, they're beating the crap out of each other.
Right, and she's throwing everything at him.
We forgot one little funny scene is when the ship with Thor and Valkyrie and the Hulk arrive,
right.
And Hulk goes like, "I'm the only one that can take care of this." He throws himself out
right.
of the ship, expecting to change.
Right, but he doesn't. He lands as Dr. Bruce Banner.
He
right,
hits the ground, splat.
And the wolf is like sniffing, like, "What is this? Is this like a snack or something?" Right, right. And it took a minute, but eventually we don't see him. We don't
you
see
don't
him.
See him change, but he
right.
does change.
Right, right.
Because that kind of harks back to the Hulk movie, because he throws himself out of the helicopter,
right.
and makes a crater in the ground, but goes to the ground as Bruce Banner comes out as the Hulk.
Right.
Here he hits the ground, splat.
Right, and he kind of rolls
change.
Over. Right, and eventually, right, he does get his Hulk powers.
Yeah, and then they do this great. Fantastic sequence when with Thor just cutting loose and it just
right.
playing
on,
music.
On, right,
and
the art that's called
I,
the immigrant. That's called the song from the beginning and later. It's called the immigrant song from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
Led Zeppelin. I was just gonna say, and I was just gonna mention it because we didn't say before it was Led Zeppelin.
It's a very famous Led Zeppelin song. I mean, people have heard it over and over again. But anyway, he's just cutting through the dead army. I mean, he's just ripping people to shreds.
And that is one of the most visual fight scenes
yes.
I've ever seen, and it's great. And so they mow through the dead army. They get off Asgard and they're flying away. And as Helena and
Hela and Sarkur, right? The flaming guy.
The
right?
flaming. I almost said Suture. Are beating the crap out of each other. The planet is falling apart, and Korg goes like, "Well, as long as the foundation's fine, we can always rebuild."
Right. And then, and then
there's no foundation anymore.
Right, right. They're all rescuing the ship. The Hulk. Remember, the Hulk was fighting that wolf in like the water. Remember?
Right.
And so he was going and like toe to toe, and eventually he knocks the crap out of the wolf as
and
well.
And the wolf falls off the waterfall into space.
Right, right.
And so
right.
I bet you.
And
that,
then. Go ahead. And also remember, Hulk tries to attack Sartre also.
Right.
They're like, no, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that.
He's like, no, don't fight. And he's like, but
so,
it's
he
a
says, for once, don't smash.
Yes. Right, but for once, for once.
Yeah, you know. And so he reluctantly goes onto the ship.
Right, he gets on the ship.
And they all escape.
The Scourge does kind of redeem himself at the embassy.
He does.
He pulls out his. Right,
he hides as a refugee.
Right.
And then he decides, screw this.
Well, because remember, Hela puts like a stake and she stops the ship from leaving.
Right.
And so the dead army is about to climb up and they kill the one guard.
Right.
And so he whips out the M16s and takes out most of the dead army.
And when he runs out of ammo and stuff and he starts beating the crap out of everybody. And she finally takes
Out. Exactly. But I mean, he redeems himself at the end
of the
movie.
The executioner sadly dies.
Right.
And everybody that's still around in the comic books is pretty much dead in the movie.
Yeah. Now. I mean, not just the body count of but a lot of characters. Like I said, the three warriors. I mean, there's just a lot. Well, I mean, Asgard is in shatters.
And where's Sith?
We don't know. Hopefully on that ship. We don't know. But that forebodes something worse in Infinity War. Anyway, so at the end of the movie is he takes his throne. Thor takes his throne.
He finally takes his throne as the head of Asgard.
Right.
And
Loki's there. Valkyrie's there. The Hulk is there. Korg's there. Right.
And Meek.
Right. Meek is.
Did we mention what happened to his eye?
Right. He was when he was. Right, he loses the eye while fighting
with Hela.
Yeah, exactly.
And like she tells him that he's looking more and more like father now.
Exactly, right. It looks a lot, right. He's the son of Odin, truly the son of Odin, truly the heir to the crown of Asgard.
Yeah,
but now it's in space, like on a floating ship, right, not on a planet.
Yeah, and this is apparently hours or days later because, you know, he's got a patch now over his eye.
Yes, yes,
and so they're reflecting on what's going on and everything. You find out that Loki is still around.
Yes, Loki's still alive.
Oh, and then they're talking and stuff. They're saying, like, okay, we're going to Earth. And the ship has this huge shadow go over them because it's a giant ship, which we've seen before, which was from...
We saw that ship in Captain Marvel, right? Right, so at that time...
Captain Marvel, that was before that. It was actually...
It wasn't Ronan's ship? I thought it was Ronan's ship. Or maybe
this is Thanos' ship, and we saw it in the previous movie.
Not in Guardians?
Yeah, or the end of the... it was one of the end sequences.
Oh, you're right. You know, that's right. Okay, that's what we've seen before. My apologies.
Now, here's the thing is that, you see this, and you're like, oh, shit.
They're in trouble.
But why is he... Why did he intercept the ship? And that reflects back to the scene where Loki is running through the war room, and he grabs the crown to go throw it in the fire, and he runs past the Tesseract, and he stops and pauses and looks at it.
Right, right. So he took it.
Yeah. Now, Helena does see the gauntlet that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes, when she goes
she looks at it and goes fakes and knocks it over.
Right.
Now, it was a right-handed gauntlet.
Correct. So was it a fake or we don't know?
It could have been a prototype.
Right. Right. Again, in my opinion, that's the biggest Easter egg in this movie. Because again, that's the million-dollar question. So did Odin and or Asgard actually have one of the Infinity Gauntlets sitting in its bowels all this time?
We won't know.
Right. Well, we don't. Well, maybe we'll find out in Endgame. We don't know, but you know, go ahead, Ethan. What?
And then also one other thing. So right before we see Thanos' ship, Loki is saying, "Is it really a good idea to go to Earth?" And Thor says, "Oh yeah, they love me there." And then Loki says, "No. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Remember what happened the last time I went to Earth."
Right. Yeah. So again, there's this yin yang thing with Thor and Loki with Earth.
You know,
and then remember, who was Loki ultimately working for in the Battle of New York? He was doing that for Thanos.
Right. Yes. Right. So again.
So was he grabbing the Tesseract to make it up to Thanos?
Right. Or was he doing it just for his own mischief, or was he doing it just to be greedy?
Right. So, you know, it's just, but in any case, Thanos found out where the stone was, which was aboard the ship.
Right.
And it is ended there that's where the movie ends, right. Is Thanos' ship is in front of
is hovering one. Over this much smaller passenger ship, right? And it's brooding over
the passenger. And that part is actually a mid-credit scene.
That's an end-credit?
Where Thanos' ship hovers over. So the main part of the movie ends with them on the deck of the ship.
You're right. That is correct.
They're
right.
Headed to Earth. And then you get the initial title credits with the characters and what have you.
Right.
And then we see the scene where
that is you are right, Ethan. Yes. Right. The end of Thor Ragnarok is I would say is akin to Star Wars at the end, or like even Empire Strikes Back, where you're on a spaceship with your loved ones or friends, but you're kind of in distress, right? Which is end of Empire Strikes Back.
So now, you know, we have no idea what's going on because
right.
we didn't even know about the Tesseract at this point.
No.
Well,
we just see him look at it. We don't see him take it.
Yeah, because he glances at it, pauses, and then the scene cuts.
Right.
So we didn't know that he had taken it at this point.
Right.
So, and then the very final scene of there was another end credit scene. Hold on.
You're right, Ethan. So the first main, and that's really, I think, the most important is what we now know is Thanos' ship hovering over the Asgardian refugee ship.
It was the Game Master. The very final scene.
Yes, the final scene
is when they show an escape pod. The hatch blows. The
right.
Game Master and two ladies
stumble out basically into the garbage pile.
Yes, right. And he goes, "The revolution was a big success."
Right.
And he says, "Congratulations to you all." And he says that you know you couldn't have a revolution without a leader or somebody to. You know, to go against, and he says, "I congratulate you all, but it was a tie."
Right, exactly.
And then they
and that's it, right? And okay, that's a weird scene. I mean, you know, but okay.
Yeah.
But so, he had some sort of, again, he had these powers over people on Sakaar. But again, I'm going to say this. I love this movie. I love the humor. I love the action sequence. Again, I'm a big Thor fan, if anybody's listening to the other podcast. So again, this is a buy, stream, rent, right? What's it?
I would say it's a buy because of the humor. And a lot of the humor and suggestions were greatly influenced by Kevin Smith talking to Chris Hemsworth, which Chris Hemsworth went to the producers and directors and said, "Hey, I have these ideas. Could we incorporate any of these ideas into the film?"
Ethan, what about you?
I would say it is a buy as well. I think this is one of the better films, and for me, this is the best of the Thor film.
Yeah.
I would have to say yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I own it. I bought it. You know, I bought it right away. Mine is actually a 2-pack. It's a Blu-ray and the regular DVD. So I have that. So I want to take a look at those outtakes because I didn't see those. I didn't have time. I may have checked those out tonight. Literally after
this
podcast.
They were so much fun, and it just and Jeff Goldblum just riffing. I would this. There's probably stuff that isn't on the DVD.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I would just love to see
but
that.
But again, you have such a great cast. You have Jeff Goldblum as the Game Master.
Yeah, I think that was a perfect selection for
right.
that.
Right, because he brought the humor.
Now, that's two out of the five. I can't wait to see who they're going to cast for the rest of them.
Right.
Now, this one ties in the next film, almost takes place starting where this one
right. This is one of those rare ones where you don't skip a beat. Well, it's the end credit scene, right? I mean, like you said, Ethan, the end credit scene is almost like part of, I mean, it is
it,
part
it,
of the.
It starts the film.
Right.
It's not
It's not a standalone. Like where the Game Master tumbling out is like a little standalone clip. But right, this
Ooh,
one,
but,
boom.
But this one. Okay, the next film in the line in chronological order is Black Panther.
Correct.
But
in the release date
But this is really. If you're wanting to watch the story chronologically, this would fall right before Infinity War.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So,
right.
So yes, this one almost introduces Infinity War. So if you like, right. you know, you could watch this one in Infinity War back to back.
Right.
It would be
right.
one now, whole thought.
You need to see Black Panther to understand a good chunk of Infinity War.
Right.
Because a major battle scene of Infinity War, and I don't think there's any spoilers, takes place.
Exactly. In Wakanda.
Right. So, and it's a major battle scene. So, again, if you don't understand the world of Black Panther, then you're lost.
You could do them out of order a little bit.
You can.
If you wanted
sure.
to continue the thought process of this one. So, you go Infinity War, then you could do Black Panther. But chronologically,
right.
Black Panther would be the next one, which will be our next week's podcast.
Right. And actually.
Yeah. And I've seen some of these posts or pages where they talk about the order to watch them in.
Sure.
And a lot of those have Black Panther and Homecoming right after Civil War, and then this one right before Infinity War.
Which makes sense.
That would make more sense because
the thought line of the storyline.
Right, right. Like the plot lines merge better, and again, they're much more like you can clump them together.
But we're still going to do it chronologically.
Yeah, we're doing it chronologically.
Okay.
So, listeners. So this is a buy.
Three buys across the board.
Absolutely. Love the movie.
Now, keep in mind that you can listen to this podcast and everything else at geekculture.online or any place else that you listen to podcasts at.
Stitcher, Spotify.
Yes, exactly. Now, you can also support this to keep it free by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/geekcultureonline. You could also write to Larry directly at larry@geekculture.online. You could write to Ethan at ethan@geekculture.online. You could write to me directly and get me to speak better at patrick@geekculture.online. You could go to all our social medias, especially at Facebook and Instagram at geekcultureonline. You can go to Larry's favorite at Twitter
at your geek culture. I love tweeting. Tweet me.
Yes. And please like, subscribe, and comment on the podcast. That helps us with ratings, which does help keep it free.
And again, we're almost at the end, ladies and gentlemen. There's just a few left, and we're only a few weeks away from Endgame. And this is a huge culmination. If you've been following this podcast, I'm telling you right now, you with Patrick, Ethan, and myself will be the most prepared MCU people in your movie theater. I'm telling you, unless you're going to the movies with me or Patrick or Ethan, you will be the most prepared person at theater. I kid you not.
Now, the
unless if you attend the 60-hour, two-and-a-half-day, 22-movie marathon.
Right.
Yes, AMC and four theaters across the country is doing a 22-movie marathon.
Right.
And it's non-stop.
And I believe it's the El Capitan in Los Angeles. It's the AMC River East 21 in Chicago, which is close to Navy Pier. I'm sure there's one in New York. I don't know what it is, but it's El Capitan in LA. I saw that.
And it starts Tuesday morning, the 22nd, at 9 a.m., and it doesn't finish until 11 p.m. Thursday night with Endgame.
And you get to see, then you see Endgame at like the late show, basically.
Yes.
Remember, Endgame is a 3-hour and 2-minute long movie of course, you have to see the credits because there's going to be how many scenes?
There's 3 end credit scenes.
So you have to sit through the entire credits.
Yes. There's not going to be a way of skipping this one.
Right. Right.
So that's 59 hours and 7 minutes. That's if they're back to back without any breaks. Obviously, there's probably going to be like a 10-minute break between each film. So it's going to be over 60 hours with films, and I am seriously wanting to do this.
Who will join Patrick? Who will join?
This is my thing. Is that I promised to not only do this, but I will do this in my Infinity War Spider-Man costume. I will live tweet, Facebook Live, Instagram, the whole thing as it's going on. But the tickets are $125. So if anybody wants to throw a few bucks my way to cover the cost of the ticket, I'll cover the cost of the soda and the popcorn and the pizza and the hot dogs and the pretzel sticks
and the diapers and the Depends. I
promise to do this in costume if somebody wants to help support this. So you can get a hold of me directly at patrick@geekculture.online
or tweet us at your geek culture.
And as long as we're able to get the 125, I'll gladly do this. Yeah. Now, anyway.
In downtown Chicago.
Downtown Chicago. Now, okay, so next week is Black Panther.
Black Panther, can't wait. Love it.
Okay, we have back Black Panther, Infinity War, and Wasp. And then we're going to do our pregame.
Right, we'll do a pre-show for Avengers Endgame. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is so exciting. You are ready.
So, all right. So, for now, this is me.
Larry.
And
Ethan.
And Ethan. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.